Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Much appreciate you making the show part of your day. We are live at Nats Park, sections 106 and 107. Gates just open. Fans starting to stream into the ballpark. They're trickling in at this point. Pretty funny moment, though. We were in the break just kind of hanging out here sitting at our set, and a guy that looked a lot like Gio Gonzalez walked right up to us to shake our hand, and as he got closer wearing his glasses, it was Gio Gonzalez.
It actually was Gio Gonzalez.
Who I watched at Nats Park take a near no-hitter into the sixth inning last night. But what's funny and why I'm entertained is he's right now just kind of walking up and down the steps. He's getting basically all the lactic acids out from last night. He's running. He's worked up a lather and a sweat. But he's walking through the concourse and running up and down the steps in the outfield. And no one knows it's Gio Gonzalez.
Right.
Like, I'm looking right now. There are literally people wearing Nats jerseys on every side of him. He's just standing there, and no one is addressing him as the guy that they saw pitch in one of their favorite players last night. Now, hopefully he doesn't get upset that we're outing him on the speakers here. But just so we're all on the same page, Gio Gonzalez just wandering around among Nats fans getting his workout in this morning as the gates have opened, and no one's paying any attention.
It is so funny. That was so funny. Just casual banter with Gio Gonzalez as he's sweating to the oldies out here.
Yeah.
Getting his running work in.
Let's
that was
get
amazing.
To the hotline. Our buddy Craig Hoffman, ready to talk Redskins with us. He is one of our insiders who's keeping us abreast of the proceedings from camp over the last few weeks. He and Chris Russell, our reporters on the team. Craig, thanks for a few minutes. I want to start with an update on who's in and who's out this weekend. I mean, Crowder, Reed, Doxson, the triumvirate of pass catchers that didn't debut last week, any of them going to play on Saturday, or are they still a week away?
I think they're going to hold those guys out from what I understand, but I would think Crowder has the best chance. I mean, he was back in drills last week, and he had told me in my last day there in Richmond, which was at this point like almost 2 weeks ago, that it was the week before the Green Bay game, before the Baltimore game, that he was going to try to practice that day. He wound up not. They wound up holding him out. But I think Jameson could go, and I think if it was a regular season game, he could definitely go. Reed, I think, is still trying to figure out those orthotics that he got and seeing if that's going to make a difference, and they're certainly not going to rush him back. And then Doxson, we'll find out a lot more today, see how he looks when we get back out as they resume practice, or I guess start practice in Ashburn today, this afternoon. But I would think Crowder's got the best chance, but I am under the impression that none of them are going to play until week three.
Craig, in general, you don't play guys in the preseason. You got to keep them healthy, et cetera, et cetera. But something's on the line now, I think, for Jay Gruden and this group. They haven't gotten off to good starts. Grant and I debated this kind of this morning as to how it would go. I get the sense that Jay kind of felt the alarm a little bit after this past game. Has it been different this week? I know they were off going back and forth from Richmond to Ashburn or whatever else. But do you have a different sense that they may approach this preseason and the rest of the way a little bit differently?
Yeah, we don't really know yet because they haven't. I mean, they had, two practices over the weekend in Richmond, coming off of that game, and then they're back in Ashburn today for the first time since breaking camp when DJ Swearinger hit a field goal on Monday. But I would think that they're going to try to ramp it up a little bit. I mean, if you're doing the same thing and getting the same result and expecting a different one, like that's the definition of insanity. And why would you want to do that? So I think that, you know, Jay's now in year four. I think he has a process, but you've got to tweak along the way. And whether that means playing Kirk, you know, the full first quarter as opposed to just three series or something like that, and trying to put some kind of cap on it, I don't know what it kind of turns out to be looking like, but I would think it's different. Maybe they game plan a little bit more. It was interesting enough watching Hard Knocks from last night that they talked about, the Bucks talked about game planning a little bit for their week one preseason game against the Bengals. Well, the Redskins don't do that at all. So do they do a little game planning? And maybe that helps sharpen up their performance and get in that rhythm. There's a lot of tweaks they could make from intensity and contact and practice to game planning to whatever, to playing starters more. I don't know what it is, but you would think that after that wake-up call, as Kirk put it, that they would pick at least one of them and go with it.
How much better should we expect reasonably their running game to be this year? Forgetting, you know, their running back personnel, they have not blocked all that well in the running game over the last couple seasons. And maybe more important, Craig, Jay Gruden, as much as I love him as a passing game coordinator, he's never had good running games, even as an OC and a play caller. Should we expect that is a strength this year, or are they going to continue to struggle?
I mean, I wouldn't expect it to be a strength, but that doesn't mean it can't be better. And so much of what plagued them last year, we saw again in the Baltimore game, it's mistargeting. And what that means is when you line up and you look up to the guys across from you and pick which one you're going to block, you don't pick the right one. That shouldn't be that hard. This isn't having to deal with a 300-pound lineman at full speed. This is picking which 300-pound lineman you're going to have to deal with at full speed. That should be the easy part. And it comes down to communication thing, starting from Kirk in the huddle to Spencer Long and him setting everything up along the offensive line. And then the guys themselves. And look, a lot of this is not even on the O-line. It's on the tight ends, too, if they're going to get involved in the running game. You know, if you're responsible for a linebacker in the running game, like, you can very easily give up a tackle for loss if you don't block that guy. And that's exactly what happened, for instance, on the 3rd-and-1 on the first drive. It was either between Vernon Davis and Sean Lavelle. Somebody blocked the wrong dude. And nobody blocked Urban, 96, and he came up and swallowed Rob Kelly as soon as he got the ball. And so I think it's part execution of finishing blocks, and I think obviously that should get better with another year under Bill Callahan and his ability to teach blocking. But also it's just got to come down to understanding what your responsibility is on any given play. And I would think with another year of the same run schemes that you would be able to do that better because it's more familiar. And maybe you've made a mistake before and it's on the same play, so you don't make it again. But it happened in week 1 and they didn't really fix it last year, so I'm not going to hold my breath on it.
Be like me and follow the incredibly in shape Craig Hoffman at Craig Hoffman on Twitter. He is so skinny. He is so skinny. He will always.
Are there extra tips on your Twitter account?
Fit. Yeah, you do that. Oh, it's not skinny, it's fit. That's what I'm supposed to say.
Oh, okay.
That's what fit people like to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fit, not skinny.
No, he's skinny and fit, though.
He's skinny fit. So, Hoff, why can't Zach Brown call the plays? This is like a weird subplot to me that seems very curious. I don't know what's going on there. Is it going to hamper
Nico
his ability
Marley's
to start?
Been in the league for 3 minutes and is calling plays.
I'm very confused by this. This is an NFL football player who's in the Pro Bowl. Is it really too much to ask?
I mean, it might be. They've got two guys. Like, the thing is, he's going to be out there with either Compton or Foster, right? So one of those guys can call the plays, and they know this defense really well because all they had to do was translate it, you know, update it basically. That, you know, it was a software update as opposed to installing completely new software, which is what Zach Brown is having to do this year. And I know Nico Marley, yes, that's fantastic that he is able to call the defense as an undrafted rookie, but not exactly something that is typical, I would think. So in a way, it's not a big deal because if Mason or Will is out there, they can be the Mike linebacker and they can call the signals. However, if there are, and I actually had Mason on the night show on Monday, and I asked him, what's the difference between the Mike and the Mo linebacker, the two inside linebackers, beyond calling the defense? And he said, there's not much. There's a little bit of situational stuff. You know, one plays a little bit more coverage. One might blitz a little bit more. So if Zach Brown is really well fit to the Mike and he's stuck playing Mo, is that a bad thing? Yeah, it's not ideal, but they do basically the same thing. And you can kind of adjust within. So like if you drew it up that the Mike was supposed to blitz and the Mo was supposed to cover the tight end, you could just flip it. So I don't think it's a big deal. Should he be able to do it? Yeah, ideally you'd want everyone to know every position on the defense and be able to communicate and everything like that. But I think Zach Brown is going to be at his best when he can just fire his bullet and go use his extreme physical gifts and go play. And you can just let Mason and Will take care of aligning everybody else. And look, they communicate. It's not like Zach Brown's a dummy. Like he's, you can see, and even Comp talked about it in the first game. They had a pass off where they communicated really well. He knows what's going on. It's just, you know, the ability to communicate it to your teammates before the snap. That's something that he's not going to be asked to do. And to me, that's actually fine.
Craig Hoffman, Redskins reporter here on 106.7 The Fan, joining us on Grant and Danny. We're live at Nats Park. I'm going to break a radio interviewing rule here. You're supposed to ask the shortest questions possible and not give your own opinion. I'm actually just going to make an observation and then get Craig to react to it. This is the opposite of what they taught you to do when you're asking questions at Syracuse, Hoff. But
yeah,
Doug Williams,
not the Sawatsky method.
No, it is not. Doug Williams was in the booth for almost a quarter the other day in the middle of the first preseason game as the supposed like lead decision maker on the roster. Scott McLuhan wouldn't spend 1 minute in the booth during the preseason. That's my observation. I don't really have a question.
I don't know what to make of it. Other than Doug Williams,
here's what I make.
I guess
of it.
Feels more comfortable than Scott McLuhan because, Scott couldn't even meet with players without getting in trouble. So that's.
But I'm saying this is more evidence of what I've said all along, which is this is a move that the fans are all going to rally behind and be happy about.
It's Doug Williams.
It means nothing.
He won a Super Bowl 30 years ago. Doug Williams.
I think nothing has changed. He is a face. That's what he is, in my opinion.
Yeah, but right, but like that's.
Yeah.
The thing. I talked about this yesterday with, like. We know this.
Right.
This is not new. And I guess like to point it out, and it's more evidence. Like, yeah, I think that is a keen observation. But I said this yesterday with Chad. Like, when it comes to the negotiations and stuff with Kirk, part of the reason everyone's on Kirk's side is because there are zero members of the Bruce Allen fan club. So if Bruce Allen can use Doug Williams to maybe get a few members of the Bruce Allen fan club and put a face that people like on the front office, considering it's a front office that has been completely dysfunctional, kicked out the one guy everybody liked, trashed him on the way out, and then made everyone super mad because they didn't really negotiate in good faith with the quarterback that they all love, who's actually been good, which is something that we're not like used to here, a quarterback being good. Doug Williams, good face. I think that you're correct,
hero.
Grant.
Can I get Craig going? Yeah. In the sound machine. Hey, thank you, buddy. Appreciate you making time for
Thanks,
us as
Craig.
Always.
You got it. I expect to be greeted with that yeah every time I come on.
I hope that we can make
it's
that.
It's not quite
work.
Howard Dean, but it was a tacit admission that what you were saying.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We're going to D.C. Yeah. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Mike Jones's five observations about the preseason and the NFL power rankings and where the Redskins rank coming up next. But remember, at 11:45, we're playing trivia for tickets to come meet Kirk Cousins, hang out with us on Sunday. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Grant and me are losers. That's right. We are big losers.
So
you
much
and
losing.
Me. All we do is lose. We are the opposite of that DJ Khaled fellow we play for winning off the field. What am I talking about? I'm talking about weight. EMP 180 weight loss. That's what I'm talking about. We have lost as a show over 100 pounds. There's 100 pounds less of us than there used to be thanks to our friends at EMP 180. They are great to work with. You can do it.
EMP180weightloss.com. Go there. They're going to cater a plan specifically to your needs. My plan different than Danny's. Best part about the plan, every week you get a full body composition. You step on a scale. They tell you exactly what you did right, what you did wrong, how much muscle, how much fat you've add or lost. It is a program that works. I talk to listeners every time I go in. I got people emailing and keeping up with me, telling me how much weight they've lost to listen to the show, including my buddy who's down 140 pounds with EMP 180 weight loss.
Call them. Call them. 703-992-0620. You can do it. I know you're on the fence about it. You've been wanting to lose weight for a long time. That stubborn spare tire around the middle. You can do it, and EMP 180 weight loss will help. It's EMP180weightloss.com or 703-992-0620. Schedule your consultation today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.